Hello and happy Saturday. Welcome to Financially Fit. I'm Dina Isola here with my husband and business partner, Tony Isola. We are thrilled to be here today, our very first broadcast. Thank you for joining us. We have so much to go over. You know, Tony and I have been in business since 2002 with our investment advisory firm, ATI Investment Consulting, right here in Stony Brook. And we've learned quite a bit from our clients in what is really lacking in financial education and what confuses people and what gets them into trouble and, frankly, what gets them taken advantage of. So today and in the weeks to come, we're hoping to empower you, get you so that you can really look out for your own best interest and think of us as your own personal financial trainers.
Yeah, and I think it's also important to note that I have a background as a teacher. I taught in Long Island's public schools for 15 years. And I did a lot of work with financial literacy with kids, seventh and eighth grade. And I think what a big problem today is many people are confused by terms and fancy language, and it discourages them to invest or ask questions. So it's very important for us to explain this concept in a way that the average person can understand, and that seems to be greatly lacking for many reasons.
We encourage you to visit our website, www.atiinvestment.com. We have lots of good information there, a lot of educational information, helpful links, resources, and calculators. So that would be a really good place for you to learn a little bit more about us and also to learn more for your own benefit. Today, we want to tackle something that a lot of people aren't aware of. There's lots of things that go on in the market. They go up, they go down. People feel at the mercy of what's going on. But guess what? There's a lot that you can do to take control of your own investment experience. So today, we're going to give you just three good ways that you can do that. Also, cutting the fat puts money in your pocket. Are your mutual funds fatty? We're going to teach you how you can dig into your portfolio and find out whether or not there are high fees lurking in your portfolio. Can your mindset be damaging your investment results? Unfortunately, emotions and investing don't mix well. Learn how you can manage your emotions before they manage you. And lastly, we're going to leave you with some baby steps, some small changes that you can start making today that will actually impact your journey as you try to become financially fit.
Yeah, and I think the biggest theme for our audience and also in our business and the way we manage our clients' money is we focus on the things that we can control and ignore the things that we can't. And though that sounds easy, it's really not. You know, many people say investing is simple, but it's not easy, and that's very true. And by putting your energy though into the things that you can control, it's going to help you achieve your goals, and it's also going to put your mind at ease. It's in the same as life. If you go around worrying about, the weather every day, your life probably is not going to be as productive as it could be. So one of the first things we would like to talk about is the costs that many investors pay. And this is something that you can control. You can't control the returns of a market, but you can control how much you pay for certain investment products.
Whether you run a business or a household, everyone understands the concept that your overhead affects your profitability. You know, if you're spending too much on your phone service, that cuts into your household budget. If you're spending too much in rent for your business, that cuts into your profit margin. Well, guess what? Your investments, it's the same thing.
Yeah, and there's a great misnomer out there. As many people will say to us, the cost of what this person is charging you to have this investment. And they'll say, it's free. And you have to understand that certain investment companies or all investment companies are for-profit businesses, and it's not a charity. Everything has a price. The brilliance of the way investment firms have set up their structure is that they don't send you a bill, and the fees are usually skimmed right off the top. So you have no idea what you are paying. And a way to find out is usually to go through a large book, which they call a prospectus, which is written by lawyers, which quite frankly is designed to protect the firm and not you. So you have to understand whether you have a mutual fund, whether you have an insurance policy, whether you have other, you know, bank products, mortgages, lines of credit. They all have costs, and the costs are vital in what your investment return will be or the amount of wealth you're going to accumulate in the future. So this is something that you can control, and we hope in future shows to go into more detail about how to go about doing that.
Later on in this episode, we're going to cover how you can take a look and see whether or not your mutual funds are costing you more than they should. So make sure you stay tuned for the second half of the show.
A second thing that you can control is having a diversified portfolio, or basically, you know, spreading your bets. Think of it as a roulette wheel and putting a number, putting a ball on one of the numbers rather than scattering it through 10 or 12, it's going to ruin your return basically if you're wrong. So putting all your eggs in one basket is usually not a good strategy. So unless you have an ability to predict the future, which quite frankly none of us has, the only rational, intelligent way to allocate your resources is to spread them around through different things, stocks and bonds and cash and real estate, and not emphasizing one over the other. If you could predict the future, then I would encourage you to, you know, put all of your money into one asset class. But since we can't, having a diversified portfolio is, to me, the only sane strategy.
Something we have seen a lot with clients is, with regards to failing to diversify, is having a 401k plan with their company that has a lot of company stock in it. So they're kind of taking a double bet in the industry that they work in the health of that company. So if the company should go bankrupt or the industry should get heavily hit, they potentially may be out of a job and their 401k plan may not be worth much of anything. So there are little changes that you can make that if you're simply aware of these ways to protect yourself, making these small changes can have a really big impact on your bottom results. So diversification is really important. And Tony is kind of oversimplifying it. It's not just spreading it out, but it's being very careful with the different percentages, how you're allocating it, because certain investments will offset the risk of another type of investment. So if you really have crafted a good plan, you can have something that's actually minimizing your risk, even though you're spread out among other classes of assets that might by themselves be riskier.
Yeah, that's true. And finally, probably the biggest detriment to people achieving their goals is their inability to control their emotions. And money is a very emotional topic, and the world is filled with lots of crazy things that go on and lots of things that we can't predict or understand. And unfortunately, many people are very reactive and they react to these events, and it just constantly causes them to buy, you know, high and sell low. And that is just a recipe for disaster. So it's sometimes it is hard to control your emotions, but there are steps you can take to limit their damaging effects upon your investments. And what I would certainly recommend is just don't pay attention to hysterical media coverage of financial events. And by just stepping away and stepping back from it, that would be one way for you to manage it. And secondly, I would certainly, you know, suggest to you, your emotions are your emotions, and you need to understand yourself. So if you know you're kind of a very nervous investor, there are strategies that we'll talk about in future broadcasts that you can implement that will let you achieve your goals, but also help you to sleep at night. So knowing yourself is unbelievably important to investing success. And quite frankly, the markets are basically psychological more than anything else.
We encourage you to go to www.atiinvestment.com. On it, you will see what's your risk number, so you can really work within your emotional comfort zone. When we come back, learn how you can cut the fat out of your portfolio and find out what makes investors sweat and should it. Stay tuned right here.
That's the way you do it. You play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it.
Hello and welcome back to Financially Fit. Thanks for joining us today. In the last segment, we were talking a bit about costs, and we want to dig a little deeper into that. Cutting the fat is really important to your investment results. It may very well be one of the most important things to your investment results.
Yes, the cost will determine basically when you're going to retire. And you having a high-cost investment product could actually lead years of extra work to your life, which could obviously be devoted to maybe some other things that you might enjoy a little bit more. And we'd like to help you out today by doing something that I think is very important. Many of you out there probably own mutual funds. Mutual funds are, you know, your main investment product that are in 401k plans, 403b, IRAs, things like that. Well, they usually have four letters, a symbol, and you can look them up online and read some things about them. But most importantly is you need to know how much they cost. And the cost could vary. The cost could be as little as 10 basis points, which is 1/10 of 1%, all the way up to 300 basis points, which is a huge discrepancy. Now, the person with the very low-cost fund will most likely have a much higher return than the person with the high-cost fund, and it's just simple math. The people that have less money taken out of their fund each year, skimmed off the top, will end up with more and could actually have a situation where they could put in less money and end up with more money than someone who contributes a higher amount each paycheck but has a much higher cost fund.
So lowering your costs is basically addition by subtraction, because not only have you lowered your overhead, okay, so now you end up with more money, but you can actually take less investment risk because you have more money compounding over time. So you may not need to be as aggressive with your investing just by that one simple strategy.
Yes, and numerous studies have shown the key component of an investment return is the cost of the investment. And again, if you just understand just a little simple math, not to overwhelm you, but if you expect a market to return 8%, which is a conservative yet realistic idea, if you have a fund that does make that 8%, well, it doesn't really make 8% because there's about a 3% inflation rate. So now it's making 5%, which they call the real return. Now, imagine if that fund has an additional 3% cost. 5 minus 3 is 2. So basically, you're taking a decent amount of risk for a 2% return that you could probably earn in a bank or a treasury bond, which are very safe investments. So having those high costs is so damaging to your overall wealth creation that if you ignore it, you will end up in a situation where, like I said, you're going to have to probably work a lot longer than you plan to just by paying these high fees. And then the numbers are enormous over the years. And, you know, just to prove it to you, we were thinking, people are listening out there, if you'd like to email us, Dina@ATIinvestment.com or Tony@ATIinvestment.com, if you're confused about a fund that you own, you could send it to us, and we could look that up pretty quickly and tell you how much you're paying. And it might be something that could really change your whole focus of your investment plan, and maybe it'd be something that we could even talk about in a future radio show, because I think there are many people out there who know that they're paying a fee for their investment products and services that they are getting, but they really don't know how much, and they really don't know how to determine how much. And that's the most important thing.
The irony is, of course, that these higher fee funds, you're actually helping that institution pay for advertising for that product to get more investors in, so that extra money that you're being charged isn't for your benefit at all,
right,
frankly.
Right. Dina's absolutely right. And just as a little hint for you, if you happen to take out a statement after you listen to this show, if you see in front of any of your mutual funds the letters A, B, C, or D, that usually means there was a very high sales commission in order to purchase your fund, which is completely unnecessary in this day and age. Secondly, you might have something else called a 12B1 fee included in your fund. This is simply a fee that's you're paying to the fund company so they could market your fund to get more investors. And in the long term, that will end up hurting you, because the bigger a fund becomes, the harder it is for a fund manager to do the things he needs to do to get a better return. So you're actually, if you pay these 12B1 fees, you're paying the fund company for lower returns. So keep that in mind. If you see the letters A, B, C, or D in front of any of the funds you own, or if you inquire about to your broker or whatever financial person you might be using, if you're paying a 12B1 fee on your funds, you could probably do a lot better.
Again, not sure if your funds are fatty. Make sure you email us. We'll take a look and let you know what we think. Dina, D-I-N-A, at ATIinvestment.com, or Tony, T-O-N-Y, at ATIinvestment.com. Okay, now we'd like to talk about what really makes investors sweat.
I wake up in a cold sweat.
What makes them uncomfortable, and most important, whether or not it really is cause for concern.
Yeah, and it goes back to that emotional component. What people don't understand is, just a little psychology for you, studies have shown that people actually pay attention 3 times more to bad news than they do to good news. Now, think of financial media. When you put it on a CNBC or shows like that, you tend to hear some pretty dramatic stories about what's going on in the world, and they're usually not too positive. Well, the media companies understand that. They understand that's what people tend to listen to more. And they know if they play these stories that you will pay attention to it more, and they'll get more money from the advertisers. And that's just how the world works. But unfortunately, by focusing in on this bad news, it tends to make you make emotional decisions, reactive decisions, rather than reflective decisions, which means thinking about what you're doing. And usually, I don't care what you do in life, if you react emotionally, it tends not to end well. So, you know, we're talking here about you just simply understanding what's being done and how, unfortunately, you're being manipulated most of the time in when you do listen to most financial media.
J.P. Morgan Asset Management actually did a really interesting study, and they looked at a $10,000 investment made January 3rd of 1995, and if it was held through to December 31st, 2014, there were completely dramatically different results if you stayed in the entire time, in which case that amount would grow to $65,453. But if you missed just the 10 best days, that dramatically cut the return to just $32,665. So a 9.85% average annual return versus a 6.10% average annual return just for missing the 10 best days. And what I thought was really interesting was 6 of the 10 best days came within 2 weeks of the 10 worst days. So if you try to time the market, that just doesn't work well. No one has a crystal ball. And if you ride that emotional wave, you will miss out for sure. Timing does not work.
No. And I couldn't agree more with that statement. What the problem, too, is many people hear news, financial media, and whatever person might be talking about a stock or a strategy, and they'll say, I think I should do that. Well, the person who's giving out this information does not know who you are. They do not know anything about you. They do not know your goals. They do not know your aspirations. They cannot tell you what to do as far as a strategy goes. So paying attention to a complete stranger and making drastic changes to your investment portfolio is not a winning strategy.
I'm so far. Bob, I'm baby stepping. I'm doing the work. I'm baby stepping. I'm not a slacker.
Every week we are going to leave you with some baby steps. And that is something that you can get cracking on right away to empower yourself. So for this week, we want to tell you, make sure that you read one financial article a day. You can use our website, www.atiinvestment.com. That's a great place to start. We have a resources tab there where you will find articles. There are worksheets, calculators. We also have a blog and radio tab. You could listen to the replay of this show, or you could read our blogs. Tony has a really great blog at maliceforall.com. I blog at realsmartica.com. We're also on Facebook and Twitter, so if you friend us, that's a great place to start. You'll get our newest information. And for the first 10 people to like us on Facebook, we will get you a free copy of Money and Life, a financial guide for people just starting out by Michael Stahl. Thanks so much for joining us. We want to hear your feedback. Please email us. And stay tuned for our next episode next week where we tackle some more of these issues.
Yeah, and if you have any further questions, please email us and we could consider them as a topic for future shows because this show is for our audience. It's not for us.
Yes, you can be featured on the show. So thank you. Have a great weekend and a great week ahead.